This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
And a good Saturday morning to you. Have you been enjoying this wonderful weather like I have this week? Boy, what a change, and it's been some great weather for turkey hunting this week. Did you get to go? Have you got one yet? Well, I had a very special hunt on Wednesday, and I'll tell you what made it special. And I'm going to throw this question out. How many of you took a shot or got a beady-eyed bird on Wednesday? It was just one of those days when the turkeys were el fuego, as they say, gobbling like crazy. Had several reports of other birds killed on that same day. If you were hunting turkeys on Wednesday, what was it like for you? I think that full moon might have had something to do with it. And by the way, the full moon, are you one of the sportsmen that live and die by the game and fish charts, the movement, peak movement times, minor and major times during the day? A lot of people don't really consult that because they go when they got a chance. But a lot of people who have the opportunity to pick their day specifically really live and die by those, both fishing and hunting. Anyway, what's your thoughts? You can text that to me along with your comments and any questions you might have. We'll add them to the fishing reports from our professional captains and marina operators. You can do that by texting your message real time into the studio at 504-260-1870. That's 504-260-1870. Some of the things we're going to be talking about over the next 2 hours, kids get ready. The Bogachitta Youth Fishing Rodeo is opening up the registrations come Monday morning, and get yours in quick because it fills up. It's a great event. It's going to be held Saturday, June 7th, and I'll have some more details for you on that. There's also a new episode of Tigers in the Wild on Bayou Wild TV coming to a TV, computer, laptop, or an iPhone near you. We're going to take you to join some LSU Tigers to Lost Bucks Ranch in Oklahoma. We're going to hear from one of them. LSU offensive lineman Bo Bordelon was aboard, and he'll join us this morning to talk about their hunt and the prospects for the upcoming LSU football season. Tigers in the Wild, very interesting episodes. And speaking of interesting and entertaining TV programs, I'm going to preview this week's episode of Louisiana Coastal Cooking. It's going to be on National Public Broadcasting and also airs locally throughout Louisiana and the Gulf Coast. And Alabama Conservation Commissioner Chris Blankenship, he speaks out this week on two issues, one about hunting pen deer and the other about saltwater jubilees. We'll pass that information along to you. And what the heck is going on with these imposter fishing and hunting guides? We got another one. He's earned this week's Bad Boys of the Outdoor title, and you're not going to be surprised to hear how he was nabbed. And if you're heading out this morning, going to have some great conditions out there. Here's what the forecast looks like for you. If you're headed offshore, today it's going to be a little bouncy. North winds 10 to 15 as that frontal system finishes passing through. 2 to 3 feet offshore. On the interior lakes and bays, the wind's going to be northeast with a switch to the northwest. 5 to 10 with a light chop. Tomorrow, much better day for offshore. East and south winds, it'll be swapping around 5 knots, very light 1-foot seas. And on the interior lakes and bays, southeast winds 5 to 10 knots in some smooth conditions. Your average tide range, 0.8, just under a foot. And the Mississippi River, well, she's arising. She's at 10.0 and continuing to rise. So the stage is set. We're going to be checking all around the Gulf Coast, getting some updates from our listeners and from our field reporters. If you'd like to make a comment or a question, we'd love to hear from you. 504-260-1870. That is our text line. Also going to tell you about a kayak demo day that's coming up today. Beautiful weather for that. It's in conjunction with a cleanup along the shores of Lake Pontchartrain in New Orleans. All that to cram into the next 2 hours. Glad you're joining us, and we'll be back right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And let's find out if the shrimp are doing their job down in Shell Beach at Campos Marinas, the spot. Robbie Campo joins us now. And Robbie, boy, did the fish cooperate with this great weather stretch we had this week?
You know, Don, it did. This week was really good up until yesterday. We had a northwest wind started blowing yesterday morning, and it was, I think it picked up probably to around the 15, 20 mile an hour mark yesterday during the day, made fishing conditions really tough yesterday. But today, I get here this morning, the wind is out of the northeast, and it's blowing about, I would say, a good steady 10 to 12 miles an hour this morning out of the northeast. And I think that's going to be a game changer for today, because northeast is a whole lot better than northwest. At least we'll get some tide movement. You know, it'll be some wind-driven tide. We don't have a whole lot of tide today. I think it's right up under a foot or so like that, eight-tenths of a foot or something. So at least with some northeast wind, if you hit some of these points or whatever, wherever you're going fishing, you could find some wind-driven tide. You know, it's going to push it in some with this northeast wind. I have to address the elephant in the room, and his live bait. The live bait situation is not good. Don, we've got two boats at working every day, and it's just, you know, by the time they get in, these shrimp are running probably a 31, 35-count shrimp. They're really too big for bait, but that's all they have out there right now to catch. So these brownies haven't showed up yet. They're there. They're just not big enough to catch yet. So, they're going through the webbing. It's making it tough for us. Being in a slot bait business, I mean, you can only do what you could do with 3,500, 4,000 shrimp a day. So, if you're looking to come down this way this morning in St. Bernard Parish and fish, and you want live bait, I suggest you start making phone calls like right now to get bait, because, with just the people that we have in line here, I don't know if everybody that's in line is going to get them. So, do yourself the favor and start calling. So, you know, and find out who's got live bait. I heard Regalese has some. I think Sweetwater has a few. It's just a handful of us that has some live shrimp, Don. It's been really tough to get.
Well, I'll check in with some of the other reporters in those areas and see if they've got them, and maybe before people go down, they can get it. Robbie, we got Easter weekend coming up next weekend, and, you know, Good Friday is one of the biggest fishing days in the nation. Just a lot of people take that extra day, and it's traditional for them to get out. Any special schedule you got for next Friday, Saturday, Sunday? Are you guys open as usual?
We open as usual, so we're doing our thing, you know. We're going to be here, so, I mean, that's not anything. No, we don't have anything special planned for next weekend, not that I know of. Look, they could say, oh, we ain't coming Easter, and they probably, Easter Day, they're probably taking off. I'm going to be out of town turkey hunting anyway, so but I don't know what the rest of these cats are going to do around here.
Where are you headed? Are you going out of state, or are you going to be local?
No, we're going mid. No. We're going Midwest this time. So we're going to be up around Missouri, Kentucky. We're going to hit a couple different states up there. So we got a big trip planned. I'm not chasing a grand slam this year. I'm just chasing birds. So we're going to run after them for a week. So,
well, that's good. And then
when I get back, it's all business after that. So.
Yeah, the party will be over. Well, I got a trip planned in 2 weeks to Tennessee. They got a nice population of birds. And then in May, I'm going up to Kansas to go chase those Rios. And I filled a tag this past Wednesday. It was kind of a special hunt because my regular Mossberg shotgun, a 3.5-inch 12 with the special turkey choke, I was getting a red dot sight put on it, and it wasn't ready in time to go hunting, so I had to pick another gun, and I started looking around in my gun safe, and I found my dad's old 1921 crack barrel 12 gauge. It just says choke shotgun on it. It's a Harrington Richardson, and I bagged a beady-eyed bird with it on Wednesday, so it was really kind of a special occasion for me.
Well, congratulations. That's a good deal. I like hearing good stories like that. Old gun still being able to take a bird. So, did it shoot a TSS? All right, Don.
I didn't try a TSS. I had a Federal copper plated, number sixes, 2 ounce load. It was a good heavy load, and the gun handled it fine. It kind of knocked me back a little bit. It kicks pretty hard. What do you shoot turkeys with, Robbie? What kind of gun you use?
I have a three inch Magnum 12 gauge TriStar is what I shoot with, and I have a True Glow red dot on the top of it. That's what I've been using for the last 20 years. I've been using this gun. It's been it has bagged a bunch of birds. I'll tell you that. So. I've never had a menace problem with that TriStar, but I don't clean it, and I use the turkey choke that came with the gun, and it throws a heck of a pattern, tight pattern, and it's just a great, TriStar makes a good product.
And what load are you using? Are you shooting that TSS?
Oh, yeah, I shoot TSS number 9. So, I shoot number 9 TSS. I can shoot the mixed load, the 7.5s, the 9s. They got it all different kinds. And it shoots 7s really well also. So it's just been a great gun, I tell you. I beat it up to hell, you know. Look, it's going to work together. You know what I mean?
When you're dragging a gun through the turkey woods and all, you don't want to use the one that looks pretty above the fireplace. You need a meat gun.
No, exactly, exactly. So, and it does its job. It's been a great gun for the last, however many years I've been hunting with this thing. It's killed a bunch of birds. So, that's my go-to. That's what I like.
All right. Hey, try to kill one with that wing bone call.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm bringing it. Don't worry. It's coming with me.
It's in the arsenal. It's in the toolbox.
It's in the vest. Trust me. I got it. I'm going to use the wing bone call when I go up, when we go up to the Midwest here next week. So we're going to give it a shot.
All right. Good luck, Robbie. And thanks for the report. We'll catch up with you later.
All right, Don. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
All right, Robbie Campo, turkey hunter and bait seller extraordinaire and boat launcher, too, by the way. All right, we come back after this. Going to tell you about registering your kids for a special youth fishing rodeo. It's a good one. We'll tell you how to get signed up for it. And lots more fishing reports, hunting reports. You got a question, comment, love to hear from you. 504-260-1870. That's our contact line for the outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, taking a look at our text message board. Let's see who we got. Oh, here we got the Frog Lawyer checking in. Guess where the Frog Lawyer is? He's at Coco Marina. He's there for the Lafayette Kayak Fishing Club's Marsh Madness Top Bag. Listen to this crew with you. Marsh Maniac, the Yuppie Yak, the Redfish Assassin, Squints, and the rest of the Lafayette characters are there looking for those redfish. Well, good luck to you guys, and glad you got some nice weather for it. We got the big man Basson from Covington. He wants some reports on where crabs are being caught. Greatly appreciated. I got to tell you, big man, crabs have been scarce, man. It's hard to find. If anybody out there has got a little bit of a bead on some where some crabs could be caught, why don't you text us and we'll pass it along. 504-260-1870. Wingbone over there in Wilmer, Alabama, he hadn't got his turkey yet, but he says he uses those moon signs sometimes, those peak and periods of movement of game and fish. And here's a question from a Baton Rouge area listener. How can we put back turkey hunting season to March 15th? Boy, I wish we would. You know, the season is set late intentionally to reduce the harvest. The person that is in charge of the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries turkey program believes that we have a shortage and has been for several years for turkeys. So to remedy that, they cut the limit back. They eliminated Jake turkeys, which are juveniles, except for youth. And they're doing a lot of things to prevent you from killing turkeys, making it harder so that more survive. I'm trying to get an answer on what is going to be the evidence that the population's been restored. I haven't really got a great answer. But all I can tell you is encourage everyone that you know that's a turkey hunter, turn those tags in. They are using those tags. We've got an instant tag where you've got to put the tag on the bird before it leaves the area. Then you have to validate it either online or by phone within, I think it's 48 hours, maybe 24. I think it's 48. Anyway, the results of those tags that are reported tells him what the population is, how many birds are being taken. So unless there's a big increase in that, then that would warrant extending the season, maybe putting another bird. I'm happy with two birds, but we got to get up back to March 15th. We're missing some of the peak and early gobbling periods, and that's what turkey hunting's all about. But there's a lot of people who shoot a turkey, and because they're in remote areas, they don't bother to put the tag on. Well, I'll just save those two tags, and that way I can kill more turkeys. Well, you're just hurting yourself as far as the season date setting. So fill out those tags, get them turned in, and hopefully when they estimate the population is safe again to increase it and move the season back up forward, we can get that. All right, we got our Butch, our Wycloski Bridge tender checking in. He says, man, there's a bunch of boats at Miro Food Store in Southlake fueling up. Looks like he's going to be busy today. Yeah, Butch, I think you are, and that is a result of the great weather. All right, did want to tell you about registration for this upcoming Boca Chica Youth Fishing Rodeo. It's going to be held on Saturday, June 7th. This is a very nice little event. It takes place at the fishing site. There's a lake up there, big pond. They've got boardwalks you can fish off of, clean banks. It's a great freshwater fishing spot, and it's on exit 11 off I-59. They call it the Pearl River Turnaround. It's right off the service road. Kids between the ages of 4 to 15 are eligible. They've got to be accompanied by an adult and be able to hold their own fishing pole. For registered kids that get picked and get in on it before it expires or fills up, you get a T-shirt, you get bait, and lunch for your whole family. They do have some fishing poles and tackle that's available to borrow if you don't have one to bring. There's a slight cost for registration, $10 per child to register. And if $10 is a burden, they've got financial aid available to help people with the registration fee. So how do you get in on this? Well, starting on Monday, you can register, and it's www.flwr.org/. That's flwr.org/. And if you didn't get that, text me, and I'll send it back to you. There's also a telephone number you can call to request a registration form be mailed to you. If you don't have a computer or access to the Internet, you can call 985-882-2025. This is a sponsorship by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. It's been going on a number of years. It's a great event. The only suggestion I could make for them to improve it is move it up. By the time June 7th gets here, it gets hot. And the kids go out there and they fish at 7:30 and it ends at 11. And believe me, in June, it gets hot for those kids. I think they should have it in May when the freshwater fishing is better there. The fish are more active. The weather's a little cooler. But for some reason, I think it's because it coincides with National Fishing Day. They continue to do it on the first weekend in June. All right, that's your fishing information. We've got more for you coming. We'll be right back to do it after this quick three-minute pause where you're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. Well, this week, the Louisiana Coastal Cooking Series continues. It's 13 episodes about catching and cooking along the Louisiana coast produced by public broadcast channel WYES-TV out of New Orleans. It is a national program. It can be seen on public TV. I am in episode, what episode am I in? I'm in episode 11 of the 13. This week, if you check it out, in fact, it'll be airing in a couple hours, 9 a.m. on Saturdays and Sundays at 11 a.m. on WYES, and you can check your PBS local broadcast station for your area what time and date that it airs. This episode this week is called Culinary Arts in the Heart of the Bayou Region. John Foltz, Culinary Institute at Nicholls State University. Chef Jana and John Foltz's people will be cooking alligator garball stew and redfish veracruzana with shrimp. That's from Dr. Elise Ferreira. And baked goose Holly Beach. That's a Chef John Foltz and Chef Chris Anderson special from Restaurant Revolution. So check it out. Find it. It's called Louisiana Coastal Cooking. All right, we got some pretty emphatic statements made by Conservation Commissioner of Alabama, Chris Blankenship, regarding a House Bill 509 concerning deer breeders. And we'll be back to tell you what his thoughts are on the official position the Alabama Department of Conservation and Natural Resources has taken on this issue. But first, we pause a quick 10 seconds for our local stations to tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. This week, Alabama Conservation Commissioner Chris Blankenship made a couple of statements. One concerning House Bill 509, which was introduced by Representative Jeff Sorrells of Hartford, Alabama. He says that Alabamians have a constitutional right to hunt and fish. House Bill 509 would jeopardize that. It's deer breeder legislation that would declare that the deer within a breeding facility are personal property of the owner, and deer breeders then put those pet deer in small pens or fences, and they can be shot by individuals who pay a large fee to the breeder. He feels the practice is neither ethical nor sporting and tarnishes the reputation of traditional hunting methods. It also would limit the ability of Alabama Department of Conservation to inspect those facilities for CWD, chronic wasting disease, or other disease. They are officially on record as being strongly opposed to this legislation for regarding deer breeders and deer pens. My thoughts on that, if it depends on, I say it's in the mind of the beholder, okay? If you are happy to go out and shoot a deer, as long as it's fair chase. Now, you know, tiny little pens, that doesn't cut it. It's got to be a fair chase, and if people want to do that, and I don't see any reason why they can't. It's been done with exotics. And as far as the ethics of it, if you're a deer hunter, your deer hunt, the way modern deer hunters hunt in boxes, on food plots, near feeders, your hunt is only taking place probably on a couple, 2 or 3 acres. It's not like, you know, we still have people who hunt traditionally, and especially on public places where that's not allowed. And it's a little tougher. You got to find the deer, find the trails, the bedding areas, the feeding areas. But most deer hunters, their hunt takes place in a confined area, which isn't much different than this, because the fences, though, contain those deer. And again, the amount of area, I think, would dictate the fair chase aspect of it. In fact, we're going to be talking to Bo Bordelon, who made a hunt in Oklahoma, but that Lost Bucks Ranch is anything but what you would call a canned pen hunt. Those animals are wild. They roam free, and if you watch the program, you'll see what I'm talking about. Anyway, the other statement he made was concerning jubilees. Now, you know what a jubilee is. That's when you have a problem with the dissolved oxygen content in the water. And what happens is the fish aren't necessarily killed because of that, but when these conditions occur, it's fish, shrimp, crabs, anything that has gills begins to head to the shoreline. and they get sluggish, and they generally will recover if they can get to some oxygenated water. But in the meantime, individuals go out there and they scoop them up. Well, you just want to remind people that if the occurrence, if it's a jubilee and the word spreads along the coast, if you're involved, you got to abide by the regular limits, the size regulations, and any other laws. You are allowed to use a handheld net to pick up flounders, crabs, shrimp, or other marine life, but you do also have to have a saltwater fishing license, especially and including during these jubilee periods. So some statements there from Conservation Commissioner Chris Blankenship. That's also Representative Matt Simpson on those jubilees. They claim that this only happens in two places in the world, Mobile Bay and Tokyo Bay. But it does occur. I've seen it in Grand Isle and some other areas along the coast, but nowhere near the regular phenomenon, the number of occurrences that happen in Mobile Bay. It's much more frequent. All right, we take care of that. When we come back after this, we're going to check in with Grand Isle. We'll talk to Captain Darrell Carpenter, get a fishing report from realscreamers.com that might be able to help you get out and find some fish. He's next on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, we'll be talking to Captain Darrell Carpenter a little bit coming up, get you a Grand Isle fishing report, and we got someone looking for reports on Spanish Lake in Iberia Parish. Anybody been to Spanish Lake lately and got a report to help our listener out? I've fished Spanish Lake a couple times, and I got to tell you, this time of the year, man, Spanish Lake has got to be on. I'm sure the brim are just kind of cranking up. And, of course, the crappie or sockeye, as they're called, you can catch those and some pretty good bass fish in there, too. All right, here's one that says, the stump jumper back in the water in Mississippi this morning. I have the chip you recommend for Louisiana marsh areas. Is that one you recommend for the Mississippi area? I will send you information on that from Standard Mapping. They've got you covered. All right, I did want to remind you about the benefit going on for Captain Mike Helmer. Captain Mike was the owner and operator of Phil Robichaux Fishing Charters. He took over from old Phil. Well, Mike suffered a massive heart attack and several strokes, and he's in a recovery process, and financially he and his family are in need of help. And his fellow captains have really come on to give him a hand. There are a total of eight fishing trips that they are raffling off, and the drawing is going to be May 6th. That's coming up pretty soon. And you don't need to be present. You can buy a ticket for $25. You can get five of them for $100. There's some merchandise. They'll be drawing for an 85-quart angle ice chest, a $200 automobile detailing. And the fishing trips, they've got a four-person fishing trip with two waterfront overnight stays with Captain Phil's charters. There's a two-person charter with Big Dog out of Lafitte. Captain Bo Weber in Delacroix is also offering a two-person fishing charter. Captain Lane Zimmer and Captain Sean Thornton, both of those guys fish out of Delacroix. They also have two-person fishing charters that will be drawn for. And Bart Simo, also a Delacroix angler. And Dead Reds Unlimited, fishing out of Venice, is a two-person fishing charter there. And they also giving away a Shimano Stradic spinning reel with a St. Croix fishing rod. It's a pretty good little matchup there. And a Major League Fishing professional, Jimmy Washam, he fishes up at Pickwick Lake in Tennessee. He has donated a two-night stay and a two-person charter with him. So you could win any of those trips. If you get in there, of course, it's all for a good cause for Captain Mike. How do you find out this? Well, you go to Hooked on Healing. Hooked on Healing on Facebook, and you can find that there. Or if you'd like to get the phone number for the person that is handling the ticket sales, who is Angela Caruso. You may remember we had her on the program a couple of weeks ago. I can give you her phone number. Simply text me at 504-260-1870. That's the benefit for Captain Mike Helmer. All right, let's see. We got more text coming in. Here's one that says, this is kind of a little look back at history. April 12th, this day in 1961, a Soviet cosmonaut, I remember this, Yuri Gagarin was his name. He was the first human to fly in space and orbit the Earth. It took him 89 minutes. That's from Old Man Sam. Old Man Sam, do you remember who the first American astronaut was? I think it was about 30 days later, the next month in May. You know, we had the space race going on to the moon, and we were in competition with Russia. Yuri was a Russian, and then we had our very first astronaut went into space. Up until that time, we were sending chimpanzees. I think the names were Ready, Willing, and Able, if I'm not mistaken. Before we put humans into spacecraft and launched them, we were putting chimpanzees into space and getting them back. And when they survived, so, well, if a chimp can make it, a human can make it, and we put them up. But I don't think I think the Russians went straight into human astronauts. Anyway, some memories there. 504-260-1870. That's our text line. All right, coming up after this break, we're going to check in with Captain Darryl Carpenter, find out about Grand Isle. It's getting time for Grand Isle. You know, the middle portion of the coast of Louisiana turns on the fastest for whether it's shrimp or crabs and fin fish. It usually peaks up first for spring and summertime, and we'll get the report for you. So stick around. We'll be right back to talk to Captain Darryl and get to your text messages. Also, Captain Ryan Lambert's going to join us next hour, and we've got a sneak preview to the Bayou Wild TV episode shot at Lost Bucks Ranch in Oklahoma. LSU offensive lineman Bo Bordelon was a tiger in the wild, and he'll join us to talk about his trip this morning. All that coming up right after this on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And let's say a good morning to a longtime reporter, Captain Darryl Carpenter, RealScreamers.com, fishes in the Grand Isle area. Darryl, what's happening down there on the coast?
A little bit chilly this morning, Don. That cool front's going to put some cold air on us. And I don't know, it's a little bit nippy. Maybe I'm getting old.
No, it brought a little cool weather, but was nice about it. We didn't get any of the rain associated with it. All of that was kind of to the northeast of us this time.
Right, right. The wind finally started calming down a little bit yesterday afternoon. Peeking the head out the door this morning, it's fine. I think the gauge is saying 9 or 10 miles an hour. Everything's good as far as that goes. It's going to be a pretty weekend. Tomorrow's going to be even better as far as the wind goes. We, the last few days, have had a decreasing tide. Of course, we've had the wind blowing like crazy. But we've had a decreasing tide, a rising Mississippi River, and Davis Pond pumping back out at over 4,000 cubic feet. So the last few days, we've had real, real muddy water. It's been a real struggle to find any fish whatsoever, anything to mention, because we haven't had those incoming tides to beat that water back. So it's been really difficult to find anything that's been clean and what we would call fishable. But that's changing. Our tide comes back today. It rose all night. I think it's rising until about 10 o'clock this morning. I mean, all we got to do now is get some good salt water in here and find some clean pockets of water. The shrimp are starting to show up. I heard Robbie and them talking earlier. Our brown shrimp are starting to show up. They might be growing a little bit faster than his are because we're starting to pick up a few in the webbing. Saw my first flock of birds diving yesterday. The Barataria Bay had birds diving, and it was just way too windy to even try to fish them. So, you know, so it's coming. Spring's coming, and we're on the cusp of it. If we can just get what we complain about every year, get Mother Nature to cooperate with us just a little bit.
Yeah, you're right. Darryl, you know, we talk sometimes what they call jargon. You know, we kind of take for granted people understand the terms we use. When you mentioned you saw birds in Barataria, and for somebody that's not familiar with fishing that much, tell them what that means.
Well, what we found is, or what we saw yesterday, was we saw a couple of flocks of seagulls that are actually diving on the water. Seagulls don't do aerobics or calisthenics. Seagulls don't do nothing but eat. They're diving, it's because bait's on top of the water. And usually if it's seagulls, that means you've got a school of trout, or either sometimes it's catfish pushing a school of shrimp up to the surface, and the seagulls are diving on it. So that means activity. It's a telltale sign. It's like a big neon sign and a barber's pole saying, hey, you need your hair cut, come right here, because they got a bunch of us right here.
And when you find that phenomenon, it you need to exercise some courtesy. You might want to tell people what to do, how to approach them, instead of running wide open and shutting down in the middle of the flock.
Well, it's courtesy, and it's you know, I mean, if you want to just run the fish away, then you go ahead and do that. But you know, I mean, if you've got a flock of birds working, and you've already got a couple of boats working it and established on it, for God's sake, just move on and find you another flock. There'll be more of them. But other than that, you got to try to get, sometimes these birds and these fish are real, real spooky. You got to get up on the north, you got to get on the upwind, up current side of them and shut down and drift into them. You don't have to go straight to them. They're not going anywhere. If the bait's there, the fish are there, they're hungry, they're eating. You're not, the only reason they go anywhere is if you scare them off. You know, so just go in slow, find your own flock, and just be real careful about it, and just drift with them once you stay on them. Try not to make a bunch of noise. Don, last year I had guys in boats. They were throwing anchors 30, 40 feet trying to anchor up on a flock of birds. That's not going to work. They're constantly moving around, and not going to work.
Right. I'm sure you've had this happen to you. You get all excited, you drift into them, and you cast, and up comes a big old, catfish, those sail cats. Have you found that once you catch one of those, you just leave it because that's all that's going to be there? Or do the trout and reds mix in with those big sail cats and get the birds active?
Last year we had a lot of situations where they were mixed, so usually we go for about three. If you bring up three catfish in a row, then that's what's on them, catfish. Just leave. You'll find another flock of birds. But usually we got a limit of about three, and especially if they come back-to-back, then you know that you got a school of catfish instead of a school of trout.
And what's the best technique to use in equipment when you're fishing school fish like that underneath the birds?
Don, it really depends on your school of fish. I mean, for most people, because you're moving and it's dynamic, for most people it's the telltale sign of the cart going under. But if you're on a school of bigger fish, they're going to hit anything that moves. And that's the thing. I mean, people worry about trying to rebait with live bait and stuff like that. It's like, no, man, tear off a piece of your T-shirt and put it on the hook. They're going to hit it as soon as it hits the water.
Yeah, you want to do artificial, something that's easy to get the fish off, because sometimes the flock and the bait ball will break up and go away and it's over, so you just got a limited amount of time to get them, and the faster you can get them in without having to rebait your hook each time really makes a big difference.
And that's a situation, when you're in that situation, Don, it is 100% a reaction bite. Those fish are in a frenzy. They see something move, they're going to eat it. It doesn't matter what you throw, people. I'm telling you, it could be plastic, it could be a piece of your fishing rag. If it moves, they're going to hit it.
That'll make anybody a professional fisherman. Darryl, somebody wants to get in on some of this action we're talking about that's going to be coming up later this spring and into the summer months, tell them how they can check your schedule and book a trip with you.
Well, Don, they can find me on your site at DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. We've got RealScreamers.com, or you can just pick up the phone, 225-937-6288.
All right. Great talking with you as always, and we'll see you next week.
You have a good day, Don.
There he goes, Captain Darryl Carpenter. All right, David over in Alabama reminded me. I was going to ask people, blackberry season is here. I think they're a little late this year, maybe because all that snow we had. But my bushes have lots of flowers, so that's good things to come. What do you do with wild blackberries? You got a recipe or a process? Text me, 504-260-1870. Also, fishing reports and a preview of LSU offensive lineman's Tigers in the Wild trip. He got a Gemsbok. Yeah, Google that one. We'll be back with that. But first, we got this top of the hour pause, and then back with more second hour of The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Oh man, I stepped out of St. Hubert's Cathedral during the break, and boy, what a great weather morning for turkey hunting. It's still, it's cool, you can hear a lot of the birds and frogs. Good luck to all you turkey hunters that are out there. It's also blackberry season, and we were talking last week about picking blackberries. I got a nice use from David Hubble. He says what he'd recommend is making good blackberry jam. And then you turn that into and incorporate it into a nice reduction to accompany some pan-seared venison, or maybe use on biscuits while enjoying some venison sausage. That's his 2 cents. Sounds like a quarter to me, David. I'd love to get into some of that. Thanks for that little recipe. All right, we also have a suggestion that says to soak the blackberries in water and sugar, then you mash half of them and then boil them and put them in a pie crust. All right, and then we have, my turkey hunting buddy Rick that's getting ready to enter the woods, he sent me a recipe too. And boy, this one really sounds good. It's for a blackberry custard pie. And I think you could even eat the picture. It's a really good one. So thanks for sending that, Rick. And yeah, there's a lot of blackberries up there where Rick's getting ready to go into the woods and challenge the beady-eyed bird. Good luck to you. All right, we also have an update. A lot of you reported on it. We were asking about the first American astronaut. Yes, it was Alan Shepard. It was in May, right after the Russian went up there, less than a month later. And that was sent in by a friend. And he also, old man Sam, for some reason he's checking on this day in 1961, and he said that was the first year Louisiana had a limit of 2 deer in 1961, and the killing of does was outlawed for the first time. Sam, we might make you the official Outdoors with Don Dubuque historian, providing us with all that little bit of history and information. All right, that text line, if you want to get in on it, it's 504-260-1870. And you can text us. Here's a question. Today is National Catch and Release Day. Was Captain Ryan Lambert stationed in Bad Hersfeld, Germany in 1970-71 in the Army? That's old man Sam. I will ask him, but no, I don't think he was. But I was stationed in Germany in 1971 and 72. And I was in I traveled. Part of my job was to travel West Germany. And I was stationed in a little town called Butzbach, which is a little north of Frankfurt, which is the main city. And it was Frankfurt and then Friedberg and Gießen and Butzbach. And I spent a little time in K-Town, Kaiserslautern, and different places there. Bad Nauheim was another one. Maybe you got me confused with Ryan Lambert. But to my knowledge, no, I don't think Ryan is a veteran. And we'll check with him because we're going to be checking in with him a little bit later on. We're also going to be talking to Mike Gallo. And we got a paddler's report for you this morning from Butch Ridgedale. He'll check it out. And also I'm going to tell you about a demo day that's going on. What a beautiful day to get out and try a kayak. Absolutely free. Jump in one, pedal it, paddle it, see what you like, and if maybe kayaking is for you, or maybe you'll find out it's not. It's going on at the cleanup day. I have more details, and it's also got a little fly casting lessons going to be given out there. It's in a place called Bucktown, and that is on the south shore of Lake Pontchartrain. We'll give you more information coming up a little bit later. Stick around. We got another whole hour of this stuff for you and I love to talk about. We do it every week, 5 to 7 a.m., right here on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. And our Born on the Bayou Report with Captain Mike Gallo is a presentation of CETO. And right now is an exceptionally good time to get signed up with a membership, not just because it gives you peace of mind and jumpstart those electrical problems, tow you back wherever you need to go. It's like a AAA on the water. But now you're getting, if you do it now, you get 14 months for the price of 12. It's $249 for a whole year regularly, but right now the 14-month special is in effect. So don't delay. Give Captain Chris a call, 504-301-4545, or you can visit cto.com. and get yourself signed up and get two extra months. Captain Mike joins us now. Captain Mike, first question for you. Live bait, people are looking around for it. Well, what places in your neck of the woods in the Pontchartrain, Lake Bourne area have you found any bait?
From what I understand, none of the local marinas have live bait. I do believe, or last I heard, South Shore Bait over there by the Chef Pass had some shrimp. But I did not get any shrimp from him, and I did not get any shrimp at all. We're going to be throwing plastics today.
Very good. Second question. I had a listener wanted to know if any of you guys were familiar with a bait called the Sixth Sense.
Yes, I've heard of Sixth Sense lures. I believe they are, in the Pure Fishing family. They have a pretty good size lineup of lures. I've had customers bring them on the boat over the last few years. I hadn't used any personally, but I certainly have seen them.
Are they hard or soft plastics?
I've seen most of the ones I saw were hard plastics.
Yeah, I think this listener was referring to a topwater. I'm not sure, but I think it was topwater. He wanted to know about it.
I don't have much knowledge on them. Maybe I can do some homework and have an answer for you next week.
Very good. Well, where you been fishing and what you been catching?
Well, it's been a grind here recently, going through a slow tide period. We've been mainly sitting at the bridges, anchored up, and fishing shrimp on the bottom or plastics, you know, the matrix on the bottom. And it's just been a grind. You know, the first day you go out, you fish and you catch a few and you think it dried up, so you move to someplace else. And you move to someplace else, and through the course of the day, you might move, you know, travel time an hour. And then when you get back, your buddy says he sat in the same spot, and he's got as many fish or more without moving, and you think, yeah, you can't catch them when you're running 20 miles an hour. So I should have squatted, and that just becomes your pattern for the rest of the week. This morning, I have some youngsters on board that are fishing in a tournament, and we're going to see if we can go over to the Biloxi Marsh and put some redfish in the boat and throw some plastics under a popping cork and see if we can catch some speckled trout.
Sounds like a good plan. Daryl and I were talking about fishing birds, and that occurs in your area too. Have you seen that yet, or is it a little too early yet for birds working over fish and schools of bait in your area?
I've not seen any birds as of yet. My next-door neighbor likes to get my fish heads to bait his crab traps, although this time of year he's been baiting crawfish traps. But he told me a friend of his saw some shrimp jumping in Polecat Bend, which is not very far from here. Polecat Bend is on the western shoreline of Lake Bourne between Wrigley's Pass and the mouth of the Pearl River. So if there's some shrimp that were seen there, it won't take long that we'll have, you know, shrimp in the local area, and they'll be sizable enough for the local shrimpers to catch them, and then we'll have plenty of bait.
Very good. Any other advice you can give people, given the conditions we've got? Looks like tomorrow is going to really be an excellent day because that little north wind from that last frontal system is going to actually shut down and switch around and kind of calm out and maybe clear the water up.
Well, I can tell you that I did see eggs in some of the bigger trout that we caught, which I thought was interesting. The 14 and 15-inch trout didn't have any eggs in them, but the 18, the 17 to 19-inch fish had eggs in them that were fairly developed. So when those trout have eggs in them, they're going to certainly eat like pigs, sort of stocking up in preparation for the spawn. So they'll certainly use current to help them find bait. So I'm going to be concentrating today on current lines, water pushing around a point, and we'll anchor up. We'll use the power poles, anchor up, and we'll throw our popping corks right in those current lines and pop those corks. And that's going to be my pattern for the first half of the morning. As the water gets a little bit higher, we're going to switch gears, put shrimp under a cork, and see if we can catch some redfish and potentially have an entry into this tournament.
Very good. Mike, you're a very popular speaker at CCA events, and there's a few of them coming up. Are you scheduled for any of those where people can come out and hear you?
Correct. I will be speaking at Bent Marine on the 22nd of this month. There's several other veteran captains that'll be there as well. I think Dudley's scheduled, Captain Ahab, who's over in the Delacroix area. I think CT's going to be our moderator. So going to have a good lineup. We'll be fielding questions. There'll be a tremendous amount of knowledge in that building on that night, sharing information.
Yep, I've been to that one in the past. It's a real good place to pick up some good tips and info from a real vast array of some local pros. Mike, how about next Thursday at the North Shore chapter of CCA banquet? Am I going to see you there?
I do plan on getting over that way, drag my wife over there and shake hands and see a lot of our friends. That's how we sort of communicate with one another. We all gather at the CCA events. I could be there for a little while, but I got a full week schedule. So usually by 9 o'clock, I'm going to fall asleep no matter where.
Yeah, well, welcome to my world. I'll see you there. Yeah. I'm going to be hanging out between the Martian Bayou table and the Recreational Fisheries Institute table. There's a bunch of folks going to be there. It'll be good to see everybody in person. Mike, thanks for the report. Somebody wants to get you. Got you on my website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. Give him your site and phone number.
Well, Don, I do have one little public service announcement. Shanna over at Wrigley's Marina has Easter baskets for all the kids that launch at Wrigley's Marina. And she has quite a few of them. She'll be giving them out from now to Easter. So anybody who launches at Wrigley's Marina, the children can get an Easter basket. But anyway, you can reach me at aaofla.com. I'm on your website, like you said, social media under Angling Adventures of Louisiana, or the good old telephone, 985-781-7811.
All right. Best of luck, Mike, and we'll check in with you next week.
All right, Don. Talk to you then.
There he goes, Captain Mike Gallo, our Ball in the Bayou guy. All right, coming up next, Butch Ridgedale. He's one of our paddler reporters in sponsorship with the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club. And also I'm going to tell you about a demo day going on today between 8:30 and noon. If you get out there, you can try one, not necessarily have to buy, but find out if kayaking is for you. And if it is, what's the best model? We'll be back to give you that info right after we pause these 3 minutes for our sponsors to give you some of their important messages along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And our Paddler's Report is a presentation of the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club and No Wake Outfitters, located at 1926 Airline Highway. But today you're going to find them out at 325 Metairie Hammond Highway. It's a place called Bucktown, south shore of Lake Pontchartrain, between 8:30 and noon. During the Bucktown cleanup, where they're suggesting you bring kayaks or walk the mile path and help clean up the shore of the lake, there also is a demo day where you can try and ride before you buy a kayak. No Wake Outfitters will be out there with various models. And if you stick around for a while, there's also going to be a fly casting seminar going on at the Bucktown cleanup. It's doing Love the Boot Week here in Louisiana. It's a presentation of No Wake Outfitters. So see Justin and the guys out there. Butch Ridgedale joins us now to give us our paddler's report. And Butch, tell us what's happening in the peddler/paddler world of kayaking.
Well, a few things going on today. The Lafayette Kayak Fishing Club has got their Marsh Madness Tournament. It kicked off about an hour ago down in Cocoa Marina, two redfish, bag, tournament. But the kick to it is you fish with somebody else's baits. Uh, ex- call it March Madness, but nicknamed it also Top Bag. Everyone puts eight plastics and one hard bait in a Ziploc bag with your name on it. It's all in a pile, and then random number generator. You get a number, the bag, and you have to fish with just that day.
So what's the advantage of putting good baits in that somebody else is going to use and maybe beat you?
Well, that's the kicker. The whoever wins that bag gets a big portion of the pot, along with the So it makes, you know, some people do good baits, some people do bad baits.
Yeah.
But it's all in good fun.
Yeah, I like it. That's a good project. What else is going on? Where can you suggest some people to put in a slip in a kayak and maybe pick up some of those speckled trout and redfish?
Well, finally with this weather, I mean, it's been horrible for the last couple of weeks on our end. I know the Bayou Coast guys, we're doing a fish out today on the backside of Grand Isle at the wildlife, you know, the marina down on Ludwig. Just show up about this time if anybody was interested. Show up, and they've been catching a few trout up here and down LA1. On the west side, I've been hearing some reports, but not a whole bunch in Big Lake, from what I've heard on the paddlers' end. But the boats have been doing pretty good. Some of the guides over there, I know they've been catching some good limits of trout and redfish, but on our end, where we go, it's kind of stretching the legs a bit to get where these fish are at.
Right. You know, a lot of folks take time away from the saltwater fish this time of year because springtime is great for brim and bass fishing. How about some tips on some areas where you might be able to catch some freshwater fish?
Well, I know this. Lake Martin here around Lafayette, they've been catching some huge sockeye in Lake Martin. It's been really, really good lately. Basin, I know it's fluctuated. I haven't heard too much on my end out of that, but I know Lake Martin, it's been doing really well. A friend of mine fished Chico this week, caught some nice bass. Now, the biggest thing that I'm hearing lately, though, freshwater, or people have just been amazed at the size of the sockeye they've been catching at Lake Martin. Some really good fish. I mean, you know, 14, 16-inch white perch.
Did they say how deep they were?
They were not fishing very deep. They were fishing in 2 to 3 foot of water right up against the trees on the outer edge of the trees.
Mm-hmm. You know, I had a listener asking about Spanish Lake. Have you heard anything about Spanish Lake in Iberia lately?
Not a whole lot. Not a lot of people still fish that lake. They think, oh, there's no fish in there. But I've heard reports at times that people have done very, very well with all types of fish over there, catfish, sockeye, bass, but not a lot of folks fish it.
You know, I don't know if you remember, we used to have the trophy and quality lake designation here in Louisiana, and Spanish Lake was one of them. What happened to Spanish Lake?
I can't really tell you. I'm not that familiar with fishing that lake itself. I've got some friends of mine from New Iberia, and they just said at one point they thought it was overfished. Everybody kept everything that they kept out of there. I've heard a couple of reports about it, but to me, I mean, I can't really give you an educated report on what actually happened to it. I'm not that familiar with the lake.
Yeah. I'll have to check in with the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Freshwater Division and see what they've got on it. Anything else before you go, Butch?
Yes, the big thing, 2 weeks. April 26th, Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club, Paddlepalooza, Bridgeside Marina. Biggest, one of the oldest tournaments we have in Louisiana, kayak tournaments. A lot of people signed up already, but that's going to be the, basically it's a two-day event where you have a captain's meeting Friday, weigh in Saturday, dinners both night, and door prizes, raffle drawings, lots of stuff. But open to anyone but a kayak. Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club Facebook page has got all the intel. Sign up and come have some fun.
Is this a catch photo release or a traditional weigh-in?
This is going to be a traditional weigh-in. It's going to be a slam tournament, trout, redfish, flounder.
Very good. The Paddlepalooza, one of the first and the biggest. Butch, thanks so much for sharing the info with us. Always good talking to you. Hope you catch
Always.
A few today.
Thank you much. Have a good one.
Butch Ridgedale, one of our paddling reporters. All right, we come back after this. It's bad boy time. Had a bunch of people busted for turkey hunting, too. We'll tell you a little bit about that. Mostly we'll get to that next week because we got one of these imposter charter guides to tell you about. What are these people thinking? We'll be back with his story right after this time out on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, I have a text message come in. Says white perch, which is, of course, another name for the soccolay, says shiners under a quill float up against a buff bank. Hang on. Oh, boy, you created a visual. You know, I was at an event this week, and I was sitting across from Mrs. Shockley, who promised me she'd be up listening this morning, and we were talking about catching brim and how much fun it is to watch that cork disappear under the water. Oh, boy. So many things to do, so little time. All right, we got a bunch of bad boys. We'll round it up. 13 citations for turkey hunting violations statewide were made during opening week. It was mostly baiting violations, but there were some with no tags, no hunting licenses, shooting from the roadway, shooting from a moving vehicle. How do you shoot a turkey from a moving vehicle? The youngest guy was 30, and his name, and this is no joke, his name is Shady, and the oldest was 71. And we're going to have their story next week, because this week we got one of those wannabe charter captains who just doesn't quite get there yet and got busted. His story is next, but first we pause a quick 10 seconds for our local stations to identify themselves along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, back on February 11th, down in Terrebonne Parish, Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fishery agents Corporal Richard Bean, Corporal Jonathan Boudreaux, Senior Agent Kyle Volentine, and Agent Carl Reed got several tips that Jace Landry was acting as a charter fishing and hunting guide without being properly licensed. The agents obtained evidence of Landry advertising fishing and hunting charters on his social media. Advertise your criminal behavior on social media. What a novel idea. To top it off, the investigation revealed that Landry possessed over the limit of ducks on one of his hunts and had no federal duck stamp or a charter guide license. So, for violating charter guide fishing regulations, failure to comply with charter boat regulations, failure to comply with hunting guide regulations, taking and possessing over the limit of ducks, hunting migratory game birds without a federal duck stamp, facing criminal fines and jail time up to $4,750 plus another $186 in civil restitution for the illegally taken ducks, and 120 days in the pokey is alleged wannabe charter fishing and hunting guide, 21-year-old Jace T. Landry of Houma, Louisiana, who's also today's bad boy of the outdoors. I don't know what it is, but it seems like we got to run on these bogus charter captains and advertise it on social media. Come fish with my guide. Do they not think that the agents aren't looking at that stuff? Come on, wise up. All right, when we come back after this, we're going to talk to a guy who definitely has all of his licenses. He's had them for a long time. Had a question if he served in Germany. Must be a different Ryan Lambert. We'll check with this one right after this time out. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And it's Plastic Man time. Captain Ryan Lambert, Cajun Fishing Adventures. We take you live and direct to Burris. And Ryan, let's clear this up for a listener. You were not the Captain Ryan Lambert stationed in Bad Hersfeld, Germany in 1970 to 71, were you?
Nope, I wasn't. Didn't have the pleasure.
Well, there must be another Captain Ryan Lambert, an Army captain.
Probably so. Yeah, I didn't. I didn't serve in the military. Didn't go to college. All I did was work all my life.
Yep. Well, you know, you went to the School of Hard Knocks, as they say, and you managed to graduate magnum cum laude. That's for sure. Well, what you got going on today?
Oh, we got a bunch of boats lined up in the driveway, getting the customers in them. I'm hooking up to the big boat to take some LSU students out to teach them how to save the world.
They're going to save the world.
help save Louisiana anyhow.
Is this part of their course, or is this just a volunteer thing, or are they just some students who had an interest? Or?
Environmental law and biologists and things like that. We go out and we teach them how to build land and what does it and how it works and what kind of fish species are there. We set gill nets out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you, that's very rewarding. It's rewarding to see that they're actually bringing them out there to see the real world instead of the classroom world.
Yeah.
You need both.
Tulane, LSU, UNO, all of them do it.
And you're the professor.
Yeah. My 12th grade education stretched to the limit.
Yeah, well, you know your way around and what goes on, and you can identify things and show them the way that things happen down there in a very, very dynamic system. That lower Mississippi River is probably one of the most dynamic deltas in the world.
Yeah, we're going to get a big surge coming in. When you get that big surge, that's when you get the biggest load of sediment coming when they come in, and that's it really helped that area get another layer of sediment to where – And it's so funny, you know, when the water's high and it builds up in a spot, as soon as the water goes down in the river, whatever's left exposed will grow grass within 6 weeks. It's so fertile. It's just incredible to watch.
Yeah.
And then you got new land. You know, usually about 50 to 100 foot a year, which is quite a thing because it never quits. As long as it's attached to the river, it's always growing land.
Is part of your lesson to take them on the west side and the east side so they can see the drastic difference?
Well, I can take them on the west side, and I can take them through the old bayous that are marked with PVC pipe, you know, but all they see is open water. So it's really not a very educational thing to see open water because that's all there is left. You know, you can go where the camps were out there and just pilings out in the water. And that's how bad. And it's moving so quickly to the west towards Belchase, towards Grand Isle. That land is just eating away so rapidly now. It's scary. And here we are. We're stopping the Mid-Berry Terrier diversion. That's not very good. In the future, it's going to cost a lot of people.
Wow. There's a lot of work that needs to be done, and sometimes it seems like it's overwhelming, and, you know, it's thanks to people like you that stay on it on a day-to-day basis and really care about it. Well, let's get back to the fishing. What can you tell people for this time of year, river climbing like this? What's some suggestions on where to go and what tactics to use?
Well, if you're going to go where you have river water, you're going to have to go to the outside where when the tide comes in, the salt water is laden with salt, so it's heavier. So it's going to go under the fresh water. So at high tide, that salt water is going to come all the way up under that fresh water, and those fish go with it. I mean, that's how simple it is. So you want to go to the outside where you get closer to the Gulf water if you're going to be fishing specks and reds. You know, if you're fishing Venice or Burris or anywhere like that, you know, the beach is going to be where it's going to be. And other than that, you know, if you're fishing anywhere else, you just fish normal. You know, this time of year, everything's going to be coming out the winter holes and going into the springtime and summer holes. So you're going to want to fish over reefs and stuff, again, going toward the outside because that's where all the bait's going. The shrimp are coming in and the bait's going out.
Well, not that it matters to you because you're the plastic man, but I know a lot of you guides like to use live bait, and there's been a dearth of it. I've been talking to some of the other reporters, and it's hard to find some shrimp. Is there anywhere down there you could recommend for people to get some live shrimp? Does Delta have any right now? I need to check with them and see.
I don't know, but I got them in my boat shed. I put 2,000 in there last night.
Oh, you're in good shape.
So we got a boat now that catches the live bait to make sure that my guys have bait. So, yeah, they go out every day and they catch a couple of thousand shrimp or 1,000 shrimp, whatever we need. And that way the boys always have shrimp.
Yeah, and that's not an easy thing to do, especially in an area like where you are with so much influx of fresh water. It's hard to keep that balance to keep them alive.
Well, it's the pH needs to be a little high, and you can check the salt, but the shrimp need to be in the kind of salt water they came in. But it's not bad. You know, it's all white shrimp still right now. No brownies showing up,
right?
And which is unusual. They should start showing up any time now. So it's all white shrimp, and the brownies are easier to keep alive. But I don't know. They don't like fresh water.
What happened this week with the black bears? We talked a little bit about them last week. What you see in the week now?
Yeah, this is going to be the week that they really start getting thick on the vines. You know, there are a lot of red ones, so by the end of the week, it'll be game on.
Yeah, you guys are almost like Florida down there, the tip of the boot, you know? Different
weather. Even in Luling, though, even up in Luling, it's time. You know, that by the end of the week, it'll be prime, and you'll be able to pick all the blackberries you want.
Sounds good. Well, Ryan, if somebody wants to get a hold of you and do an eco tour or bring some students down there and, hey, go fishing, my God, that too, tell them how to call you.
Yeah, just go to 504-559-5111 or go to CajunFishingAdventures.com website. And blackberry cobbler, a stick of butter, a cup of self-rising flour, a cup of milk. I use a half a cup of sugar. It calls for a cup. Mix it all together, throw your blackberries in, throw it in the oven, instant blackberry cobbler. There you go.
There you go. Well, I'll tell you what, there's some Louisiana fish fry makes a cobbler that's got everything in it. Not as good as homemade, but it's pretty good stuff and goes great
it's
with
pretty
blackberries.
Good indeed.
Yes, it is. All right, my friend, y'all have a good day with the students out there. We'll check in with you next week.
All right, brother, we'll see you soon.
All right, that's Captain Ryan Lambert, not to be confused with the one in Germany in 1970 and 71. All right, coming up next, Bo Bordelon, LSU offensive lineman. He's featured. He is the star of this week's Tigers in the Wild episode that's airing on Bayou Wild TV. We got a preview of what you're going to see if you tune it in. Coming up next on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. And welcome back in. A lot of you know that I also co-host a program called Bayou Wild TV, and some of the episodes we have on there are Tigers in the Wild, where we take select LSU athletes and put them in, say, a little bit different environment than what you normally see them in. We have had volleyball players, gymnasts, baseball players, track stars, football players, baseball players, and it's been very interesting, to say the least. And we do these Tigers in the Wild previews, and they are presented by Sunshine Equipment, your hometown John Deere dealer. In this week's episode, it takes you out to Oklahoma, a place called Lost Bucks Ranch, and one of the athletes there, a Tiger in the Wild. You see him in a LSU uniform, number 67. He's an offensive lineman named Bo Bordelon, and he joins us now. Bo, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing good, Bo. You know, when we take you Tiger athletes out, there's a wide range of experience. But in your case, you grew up in South Louisiana. And tell us about your outdoor background.
Hunting and fishing is something that's really just a part of my life. And it's always been something I've been passionate about. And, I really fell in love with it. From I can't even tell you, probably 2 years old, whenever I could walk. But it's always been something that my family's done, and I've done with my dad and my brother and my sister as well. And it's just something that's a really important thing to our family. So,
well, Bo, you're not only an accomplished football star, but I heard your comment in the show that it really doesn't matter whether I kill anything or not. Just being out here in this beautiful scenery is enough for me. And that tells me which stage you are at as an outdoorsman, and that's a real compliment. But tell us about that Lost Bucks Ranch. I am sorry I missed that trip. What gorgeous scenery out there and wildlife.
Yeah, it was beautiful. The ranch was great. The people there, more importantly, were better. And it was a beautiful place. I'd never really been to Oklahoma. And the landscape was gorgeous. It was a lot of rolling hills on the way in. And then when we got there, it was jagged country, kind of different than a lot of the surrounding areas. And they had big kind of, I wouldn't call it a mountain, but it's kind of like a cliff scenario. And we got to go to the top of that and just kind of watch the sunset on one of the last days. So that was nice. But it is really a beautiful place. They have everything you could imagine, from hogs to red stag and other big game like gemsbuck and oryx. So it was a really cool experience, and I'm just blessed that I was able to do that.
Yeah, what an opportunity they present for people without having to make trips to Africa, to normally where you'd have to find those animals. Well, tell me about the gemsbuck that you made that nice shot on.
It's a beautiful plains game, kind of usually found in Africa, but has been brought over to the U.S. for high fence hunting, and tastes great. I mean, I've eaten that animal probably, I don't even know how many times, more than 10 times, but we got a freezer full of it now. So honestly, probably the best part of the trip, better than getting paid or any of that. Just being able to have a freezer full of meat. So
yeah, it looked like y'all ate pretty well there. Well, Bo, to kind of wrap up, you know, what's going to be life for Bo Bordelon post LSU? What's going to happen? I'm sure you've got a professional football career ahead, and maybe some other things. What are you majoring in?
Business management's my major, but obviously I want to play football as long as I can. But everybody knows that your body can only play this game for so long. So after football's over, I plan on getting into the maritime industry and probably working in our family business. And but I'm going to keep playing ball as long as I can, as long as the good Lord allows me. So that's my plan.
Well, I got a tip and advice for you. You can hunt and fish as long as you live.
Yes, sir.
I guarantee I'll be doing that.
So
I'm with you. We'll be looking for you on the field this season, and thanks for joining us this morning, and congratulations on that really fine Gemsbok.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you for having me, man. I appreciate
it. All right. Bo Bordelon, there he goes. Number 67. You're going to see him on the field this year. All right. Well, we get time here to wrap it up, and I got a reminder about that CCA North Shore chapter Thursday, April 17th, Casteen Center featuring youth fishing casting contest, prizes, auction, and raffle, and I'll be there on that one. Well, later on this morning, I'm going to be headed east. I am going to do a Navarre Beach Pier fishing trip with Chris Weaver, who has kind of got it down, and we're going to be taking our cameras there, the Bayou Wild crew. You'll be seeing that and giving you some information. What an opportunity. The Pompano are running, and there's a lot of times you can catch cobia and other species right off the pier there in Navarre Beach, and it's a beautiful setting. Weather's looking good, so we'll enjoy that. Got a turkey hunt planned next week sometime around Easter. Maybe fill my other tag for the beady-eyed bird. And then I'll be heading to Tennessee, see if I can bag one of those Tennessee gobblers, and then go look for a Rio turkey out there in Kansas around the Palco area. That's coming up next month. Well, we'll be back here again, 5 to 7 a.m. We do this each and every Saturday morning. We love to have you. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to our studio engineer, Cullen Steele, for doing a fantastic job. And we'll see you next week right back here again. Go out and get some fishing and maybe hunt a turkey and pick you some blackberries and have some fun with us next Saturday morning on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.